Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we're indebted to Twitter for a thread that appeared yesterday, and we followed that up and spoke to the person behind it, a local journalist back in the day called Alex Morrison, and who got some fantastic stories from his followers and brought some of them to us. Anyway, more will be explained when you hear it. There's some sport in there somewhere. We had a chat with Martin Kellner, who looked at some very interesting programmes.
Oh, yeah, it was good.
For his week of sport on TV. And we also looked at a bit of non-sporting telly, as always, with the star's very own Mike Ward. We had a chat, didn't we?
We did, a couple of chats.
You got involved telling us a few of your stories, so here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. We had a chat about last night's game and a very amusing moment when Thomas Partey got the red card. And as he walked off, Arsenal were already applying to have Sunday's game called off.
Wow. A bit of satire. You could clearly see, I mean, far be it from me to spring as a defensive Arsenal, because I first looked at the team sheet and I thought, allo.
Surprising.
But then, when you saw those players playing, you could see that they were well off the boil, weren't they? And Smith Rowe and Tomiyasu, the ones that immediately sprang.
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit like the opposite of Chelsea, isn't it? If you play too few games, Burnley might find this, then you're not up to speed.
But no,
too many, you're flogged, and too few, you're not up to speed.
Too many players having to come back from injury earlier, so
and the percentage,
you can see why it happened.
Oh, yeah, the difference in percentage at this level, you know, if you're just off a couple of percent. I mean, Tomiyasu was great before before his injury break, and he was pretty poor last night, but, you know, he's a good player. And apparently, though, the dressing room door at the Emirates is a bit stiff, and the maintenance guys run out of WD-40, so they've had to ask the Premier League for a postponement.
Oh,
it's another reason.
Oh, he's laying it on thick today.
Oh, I was very sorry to hear about Emma's blisters.
Well, yeah, I know you weren't particularly. I was thinking that yesterday, you wouldn't be particularly sympathetic, but her team told her not to play.
Yeah.
I mean, how would that play? I mean, you know, it's all very well.
No, I'd admire and blisters are, let's be honest, they've been joking, so they are pretty painful, so not very pleasant. And
old Bert would have been rubbing his neck. Bert Troutman.
Well, it wasn't a Bert Troutman, that's true.
It wasn't a Bert Troutman, was it?
But Alan Smith, bless him, he was so desperate for Arsenal to get back into it, desperate for VAR to rule out Josh's goal. He went the full Gunnosaurus last night.
You could definitely hear the sadness in Alan's voice. A sadness that I don't always notice when he's co-commentating on Spurs. So it's a touch more relish when the opposition score than maybe it was when Jota's second goal was
confirmed.
I've been
having to take various journalists to task about writing stories about Chelsea. Honestly, it is quite fantastic. When they beat Juventus 4-0, no one said anything.
Best team in the world.
Best
I think
team
I
in
said
the world,
it.
Yeah.
Are they the best team in the world?
Oh, yeah. You know, and I just ask this question to people like Matt Law and people like James Robson. How would Liverpool get on without Alexander and Arnold and Robertson for 4 months? How might they play
when it's key
to the way they play? Right. You know, it is difficult. And, it's Chelsea's fault that the backups aren't as good as they could be. But, you know, when you lose two absolute key players, you know what I mean? It's not easy.
Now, you went to Brentford. We left you the other night going to Brentford Manchester United. And you had issues. And the issue was that because the floodlights are quite low. They were getting in your eyes, and you were going to wear sunglasses. I discovered later on in the show they weren't a kind of pair of separate sunglasses. They were those kind of clip-on things you put over your existing glasses.
They were my father-in-law's. I think they're World War II glasses.
Really? So you did wear sunglasses in the end?
They were proper sunglasses, yeah. So I was wearing double glasses, as they say, yeah.
Oh, so you put his glasses over your glasses?
Yeah.
So you had two pairs of glasses.
Funnily enough, his glasses over my glasses was better than his glasses under my glasses. I couldn't quite work out why that should be.
I don't know.
Probably with your refraction
because
of
you're a
light.
Man that really... Your prescription is incredible, isn't it?
If I'm being really honest, and as I'm getting on a bit now, I do struggle at football.
Even with the glasses?
When I'm sitting at Chelsea and it's all up the other end, I'm kind of... I might as well wear the glasses. I'm kind of relying on my son to tell me what's happened.
Well, we've got a picture of Andy's glasses over the glasses. If you've ever worn glasses over your glasses, I mean, it's quite difficult to pull off. We've got the picture. It's on TSH&J. And there are different shaped glasses, aren't they? It looks like you're a welder.
They are like Nusret Saltbase glasses.
They are like Saltbase glasses, but they're World War II, are they?
But
was he a sniper, your father in law? In those glasses.
But it did actually help. That was the mad thing about it. I wasn't going to wear them. I put them on. I thought, actually, this is working. And I took them on. I thought, no, I'll keep them on because it really was better.
Did anybody comment?
Well, yeah.
What did they say?
What are you doing?
Why are you wearing sunglasses? They heard us talking about
yes,
it and then saw
they
you.
Had heard us talking about
and
it.
So they knew you were going to turn up in
absolutely.
Your sunglasses.
It was a funny game, though, wasn't it? I mean, first half. I was thinking at halftime, this is one of the worst Manchester United teams I've ever seen. They're absolutely useless. Brentford should have been 3-0 up. Second half, they improved. I thought McTominay played very well second half. And they deserved to win in the end, no question. And also, I should correct myself in a way. We've been talking about Jadon Sancho. And I saw a stat last night about the top 10 assist makers in Europe since 2018. He's right up there. He's about fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
It is odd that he's not doing it for United, isn't he? He's obviously a good player, but there you go.
Early days.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Pod.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Cast.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. We're going to talk transfers a little bit later on with Julian Laurent. One of the interesting stories today with Duncan Ferguson being interviewed at the moment ahead of the weekend's games in caretaker charge. But they're talking about Fabio Cannavaro as suddenly being in the frame. He's interviewed well, apparently, the Telegraph saying today. But he's managed in China and he's managed in the Middle East.
They're going to do what they always do, Everton. Duncan will come in, they'll get an uplift because he knows... He feels the club and he knows how to get the players going and he won't suffer anything. They always get good results. And then they bring in somebody like Cannavaro and they'll be rubbish again. What's the point? Give him the job.
Yeah, he probably
he
deserves...
He gets the results, give him the job.
He deserves a crack at it, doesn't he, you would think?
He's got to want it, of course. I mean, you said that he doesn't, but, you know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Very interesting thread appeared on Twitter the other day from a guy called Alex Morrison. Alex is a journalist. He's been a local newspaper journalist. And he basically invited other local newspaper journalists to tell their war stories of what are called walk-ins, when they say there's someone in reception and then everybody hides because they don't want to, because they know it's probably going to be something quite crackpot. But it's been meat and drink on this show, the crackpot local news story.
Yeah, very funny.
We couldn't have got by without them. It was a very funny thread, and lots of journalists responded to the point where he's saying, blimey, I think I'm going to have to write a book. And I think what's been going on in afterlife with Ricky Gervais and his character has made people maybe a little bit more aware of that sort of local newspaper journalist lot, really. And we're very pleased to say Alex is a football fan, joins us now. Alex, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Did you have any idea that it would, you know, turn into what it has turned into? You know, hundreds and hundreds of people in your profession telling their stories.
No, not at all. I mean, I think this probably outweighs all the previous replies I've had to everything I've ever tweeted up to now.
And there's been some really good stuff. It's probably worth telling. I kind of sort of paraphrase it, but that was essentially it. You know, your reception call, the editorial office in the local newspaper, which isn't like Lou Grant, as people have established now. It's a, you know, it's a little bit more down home than
that. Presumably, the inspiration is afterlife, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, has that helped? You think has that made the public a bit more aware of it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think you often hear kind of, you see stuff about kind of the media and you think of this sort of big shining offices and, you know, covering government press conferences and stuff. And I think Afterlife really shows you a completely different side of it. It's much more familiar to me and obviously familiar to a lot of people because it's obviously touched a nerve on Twitter. And I think Afterlife and the book that I'm now been sort of forced into writing more or less can take a more sort of... happy look at local journalism. You know, it's not about all the amazing, weird and wonderful things that come in and the part that local journalists play in their kind of communities.
Yeah, that Twitter thread was fantastic. I mean, do you have a particular favourite and ones that people sent in to you?
I mean, there's so many. I think the one thing, and it really kind of chimed with Afterlife, but there's so many kind of vegetable stories. Yeah. You know, being called down. Someone says, I got called down for a pair. There's a bloke in reception with a pair of really big cucumbers. and there's another cucumber that looks like a dolphin. And someone's put a picture of that. And it actually does. There's a potato that looks like Winston Churchill. So there's all that kind of stuff. Someone else just came in with a stuffed badger. So the stories that come in are just amazing. And there's serious ones too, where people have kind of uncovered the beginning of really like important stories. The weird and wonderful funny ones. And on a kind of sporting side, there's someone came in, their horse had won a trophy, presumably for some sort of horse racing. And they brought the horse into reception. It's quite an amazing thing to choose to do. You think you maybe just bring the trophy, but bring the whole horse.
For a photo, obviously.
It's a bloke in reception with a horse. There were one of the weirdest ones was somebody in Wales who contacted the local newspaper, and there's a link to the story as well, saying, as a bloke in reception wants to tell you about the Nazi war criminal Rudolf Hess's greyhound that used to run in Wales.
Yeah, this is incredible. Yeah. I had to read through this story to believe it. But yeah, Rudolf Hess apparently was a prisoner of war in Britain, in Wales, in the Second World War. And he was in a kind of in a hospital of kind of mental illness. And they gave him a dog to kind of help him feel better. And this greyhound was taken for walks and stuff by a soldier who was sort of guarding him. And it turned out to be a really good racing greyhound. So apparently everyone in this sort of area around Merthyr Tydfil kind of years gone by sort of knew about this amazing sort of what they called a Nazi greyhound. Obviously the greyhound, you know,
it's a bit tight on the greyhound.
If you're talking about those sort of things, somebody coming in and saying that they'd seen Osama bin Laden living in Skegness.
Yeah, that was someone. Yeah, someone walked into Radio Lincolnshire, and the reporter said that the thing that you always sort of fear in this kind of situation, that you're wondering, is this possibly real? You know, you get stories come in, and you think like 99% this is rubbish. 1%, I'm turning down like the greatest story of my life. I mean, I don't think Bin Laden and Skegness quite panned out, but I mean, some of them obviously do come off to be real. But you've obviously got, you know, when people walk in, you've got no idea what you're dealing with. And that's your first thing. You're sort of applying a kind of spidey sense of like, is this at all credible? Is there any way this could be real? Or do I just need to kind of usher this person towards the door?
And it's interesting, the thought process that goes into someone rocking up at the reception of a local newspaper. I mean, there's one of them here where someone says, oh, there's somebody in reception with a stuffed badger. But then what they expect you to do with that? I mean, you're not going to put it on the front page, but there's quite a few of those, isn't there? But people just rock up and you think, well, what's the news angle on this?
Yeah, and I think sometimes you sort of think, is there any way we can do this story just to kind of make this, you know, sort of make this situation go away? But then I think that a lot of people have said as well that now a lot of local newspapers have moved out of the kind of town that they cover, you know, to kind of bigger sort of central offices. You have lost that link, and the I think people sort of feel a little bit like they own their local paper, and that they can just come in and say, you know, this has happened to me and this is my moment. You know, this is my 15 minutes of fame, and would you please take a picture of the stuffed badger?
I also like the one where a bloke came into him, he'd invented something and he wanted to demonstrate it to one of the reporters, and it turned out to be the Obit editor.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one as well. I can't remember what they'd invented. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know quite how that fits to the Obit editor. But yeah, I guess people just talk to whoever is willing to listen.
And so somebody popping into reception and saying, there's a man here who wants to complain that we don't cover enough local chess or local swimming. I mean, really, how much? I guess the other thing, because, you know, somebody who lives in the area is interested in something, doesn't mean the rest of the world will be, of course.
No, exactly. And it's so difficult, I think, for local newspaper reporters to do that. And on the other side, you get people who really don't like what you have covered. You know, obviously there's people who, for obvious reasons, don't want to be in the local paper. And we had one. My first paper was the Crawley News in Sussex. And we'd carried an announcement about a new baby born. So it's just a classified, like, it's not something the reporters are checking. It's just someone rings in and says, you know, congratulations, mum and dad, you know, baby Joe born, whatever date. And as it happened, the dad disputed that he was the dad, and he came and kicked our door in. He came and kicked the door down to get into the office for our terrible journalism. I mean, obviously, you think it's the most innocuous thing in the world, you know, an announcement of a new baby. But, you know, again, it's really like, it's really personal to people, I think, what goes in there, sort of, you know, the local rag.
And this one, and we're talking of babies, this bloke was angry that his baby hadn't won Baby of the Year in the paper. I mean, you can't get angry about that.
It's lovely to think that there's someone in reception is the way everybody gets their head down. Before we let you go, you are a Kevin Druids fan, is this right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I've been going since sort of once a year with a group of mates for about 20 years. We've not been able to go for the last couple of years for obvious reasons. We're kind of sizing up a new visit, but
they're having a bad season, aren't they? Yeah, they are bottom winless of the table. They're about 15 points adrift at the bottom of the stadium. Not good.
Exactly. Yeah, they're about to put a run together, I think. They're just on the verge.
Well, look, this will be a book ultimately, will it, Alex?
Yes, it has to be now. I've unfortunately gone public, haven't I? I've put myself on the chopping block for it. So I've promised my editor, in a sense, that I'm going to write this, and now I've got to deliver it.
That'd be good.
Nice one. Good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
There are Alex Morrison there, and do look out for his book. Of course, our old friend Dave Spikey did Dead Man Weds. That was a sitcom, wasn't it?
That's
built
right.
In the world of local newspapers.
Yeah, it was good.
So I think that's still available, but it was really good. So anyway, our thanks to Alex.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, Billy Reid, as you were just hearing, will be in the dugout. Graham Potter has unfortunately contracted the virus and won't be there tomorrow. But I think I've seen Billy quite recently, and if they ever have a Premier League Henry VIII lookalike contest, Billy's going to walk it.
I'm going with Jiggins.
He has got a look of the son's Paul Jiggins as well, but with a fantastic Henry VIII style beard. Do you want an interesting fact about Billy Reid?
I certainly do.
Anybody commentating on that game is looking for a little fact out that they can put into the margin as they do this. He was in a film a couple of years ago, a film made by a Brighton supporter, and it was a film set in the 20s about, I think, a swimmer, a famous swimmer, and it was called Vindication Swim, and Billy was in it playing a pub landlord. So what about? He's a movie star.
Well, that's tremendous.
You get that with everybody else, do you?
Not a film that I remember.
No, it's I haven't seen it, but he was in it and had that very small part. It was a biographical drama of Mercedes Gleitzer, who in 1927 became the first British woman to swim the English Channel. So there we are, featuring the Brighton assistant manager.
Marvellous. Did you see that annoying train announcements are set to disappear?
And oh, yeah.
I hope that bloke from Southwest Trains gets banned.
That's always been one of your best stories. And he took it. You know, sometimes you get on a train, don't you? And the driver goes above and beyond. They don't just give you the info. They're a bit of a self-start.
No, he was the guard.
Oh, he was the guard. So he gets on the mic and he does a few gags and he tries to cheer you up. You can see some people are loving it because it's different. Other people, you know... Have a bit of a look on their face when the eyes are raised. But Andy, of course, is an eye raiser and took against this fella and would occasionally tell him that you thought his jokes were useless, didn't you?
Well, I sort of...
What if he listens to the birthday spread?
I put out... Well, that's Mel Brooks compared to that. Blimey. So, no, I sort of... I put up with it for a few days and I just had enough. I'd had enough of him. I thought, you're just not funny, mate. You want to do this? Go and work in comedy. So you're a train guy. Just do your job.
It was a shop window for him, Andy. Yeah, there could have been a producer on the train.
Well, I was a producer on the train.
Oh, that's true. I suppose there was, and you didn't like it.
I get to Clapham Junction. That's about five stops late and I've just had enough of this. So I get out the train to tell him what I think of him. And but the trouble is, before I could get back on the train, he sort of gave the signal for it to go. Left me on the platform.
It's great.
It was good, wasn't it?
What you absolutely and totally deserved.
I did.
Fantastic. I do love that. Did he give you a wave as he drove off?
Well, I think he did, actually.
Did you give him a wave?
Sort of
after
a wave.
After a fashion. It's a
yes,
kind of wave.
It involved my hands.
It did involve your hands in a slightly different position to the wave.
And I've been telling you, I must go to the same sandwich shop as Sun Political editor, writer rather, Trevor Kavanagh. He's writing this morning about getting back to normal life. And he says, your after-work pub will welcome your hard-earned cash. That's true. The sandwich shop where you buy your lunch will once again be delighted to prepare your usual. When's that ever happened? Going to Pret-a-Manger. Oh, your usual, Mr. Jacobs.
Yeah, that's right. That's fantastic. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Can I? Well, when you try that, Andy, pop into Pret wherever other sandwich, where there's a lot of prepaid sandwiches. Or go to M&S or Tesco, where they'll just say, can I have my usual, please? And see how you get on.
I think the other night.
Have you ever done that? Is there anywhere you can go where they give you your usual? I mean, there's probably a lot of people. There's probably quite a lot of people who've got pewter tankards hanging on a bar. Yeah. As soon as they walk in the Farage envelope, as soon as they walk into a bar, down comes the pewter tankard and they're pulling. It's going to be a hand pump, isn't it?
That's right.
They're pulling the beer. So where you don't even have to ask, where everybody knows your name. That might make a sitcom, might it?
That would be quite good, yeah.
So where can you ask for the usual TalkSport? And have you ever tried it and they say... What's your usual? Because there's no way back from that, is there? When that look on their faces, who are you and what's your usual? Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Andy's been pictured in two pairs of glasses. Hope you're massively impressed with that. He went to Brentford with his late father-in-law's big old massive welder's goggles on so he could filter out the light from the Brentford floodlights. And we've been told by Stuart, the Liverpool fan, I did a similar thing as Andy whilst driving to Spain for New Year celebrations. Forgot my prescription sunglasses, so I had to double up. So it's the regular sunglasses over the prescription glasses.
Well, it's an odd look, isn't it? It's not great, but, you know, what can you do?
Yeah.
I see that Bill Gates has pledged £110 million, for COVID research. And the blokes who sit next to me at Chelsea, they said the pandemic was down to him. That's blown their theory.
Apparently not.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tips of the week to come, but before all of that, Martin Kellner's here, as you probably know now, with a week of sport on TV. Martin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, boys. As you mentioned, Azzurri Road to Wembley. Start with that one.
Yeah.
Because I was checking on the Netflix website, because I had the impression it was maybe two or three episodes long. It's just one episode.
Okay.
One episode.
About an hour long?
An hour and 1 minute long.
Okay.
All in Italian. But it's another one that's very glossy, sort of Netflix.
Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes things.
Like All or Nothing. think, for the Italian team.
Very similar to that. It's a good access, and it's basically following them during the training and everything up to the final, which, as
we know... sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and it's helped you with your Italian, if you
crash course.
I'm looking at...
Imagine your Italian swearing would really come on, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a bit of that. And, I'm just looking at the... in fact, I know one Italian... I won't do it in case you've got Italian people listening.
Okay.
But I know a very good Italian swear word.
Keep it to yourself, Martin.
Yes, I will. I will do as well.
Does Aaron Ramsey feature? Because they've gone off him a bit at Juve.
It's not Juve, is it? The Italian team.
This is the Italy team.
It's the Italy team that won the Euros.
It's basically up to the Euros. But I like the thing they say on the website. They say, this film is feel good. Now, that depends how you look at it, really, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I love the commentary that starts basically with them winning the penalty shootout.
Yeah.
And the commentator says, an Italian flag is flying on Europe's roof. Ooh. I didn't know they got a detachable roof over the whole of Europe. Yeah. I'm glad we got out when we did. But he says, an Italian flag is flying on Europe's roof.
Oh, wow.
And then we go back from that moment when they won the Euros to un mese prima, which means 1 month earlier. And they're all meeting up 1 month earlier. And Mancini, very good. And
Vialli there as well.
Vialli's in there. Vialli seems to spend more of takes more of a part in the training.
Yeah.
You know, Mancini's a sort of a bit of a distant presence, if you like. Yeah. Very calm, though. That was what I was impressed with, the way they dealt with in a fairly sort of prosaic way. They didn't go over the top, apart from the commentator, of course.
Yeah, of course. Oh, it sounds good, though. I'm going to check that. It's on Netflix,
That's on Netflix.
You've been watching the bowls, Martin.
I certainly have been watching the bowls.
BBC to do the bowls, don't they?
They certainly do. My annual trip to the Potter's
Leisure Centre.
Have they tried to make it a bit more rock and roll for the younger audience? That's the way they like to.
Well, it depends what you mean by the younger audience. You see, for me, Girls Aloud would be for a younger audience.
Okay,
you know, because that's what they do. They had a little montage sequence. And they played Calling the Shots by Girls Aloud.
Okay.
Now, I would say yes for the younger audience, but, you know, my daughter who's 20, 21, you know, Girls Aloud are almost like a remote group for them.
But the target audience for the bowls in the afternoon on BBC Two are thinking, what's this row? They'll be saying, won't they?
They will be saying that. They sound the same these days.
Yeah, surely you prefer the Crown Green from the Waterloo Hotel or where it was in Blackpool.
The Crown Green is, I do remember that, and that is proper bowls as far as, you know.
Is this rugby union versus rugby league, you think?
Well, it is a bit.
Goodwood. Like
Harry Rigsby, what a commentator he was.
And he really knows his Crown Green, doesn't he?
Unbelievable.
Well, this is indoors on the Astro at the Potter's Resort. Yes.
They are trying to sex it up a bit. The match I watched was the women's final, the women's final, Alison Merrion from Guernsey. Now, they have a choice of what they wear. They will all remember that row from years ago about the women footballers wearing tighter shorts or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was who said it, but it was somebody from UEFA. I think.
Oh, yeah. Sepp Blatter.
Yeah,
so he thought it was the way to improve women's football, yeah.
Yes. Well,
hell, we miss him.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, here you have a choice. They can wear either shorts or slacks. So it was actually shorts versus slacks.
Right.
Alison Merrion from Guernsey, she was in shorts.
Yeah.
Catherine Rednall from somewhere else, she was in slacks.
Who won, shorts or slacks?
Slacks won. Catherine Rednall, at least I didn't watch the end of the match because it clashed with Tipping Point. But,
I love your dedication to this particular slot, Martin. It's great, isn't it? Nothing waits for Tipping Point. Mm. You can use catch-up, if you like.
I know. I've just got Sky Q, and it's I'm getting fed up with it because unlike, you know, they said, oh, it's great, Sky Q, you can tape everything.
Yeah.
I don't want everything. I just want the stuff that I want.
You'll never get it watched. Martin.
No, precisely.
In the end, it starts to annoy you because you're never going to get
this
annoying.
Watch. It is annoying.
It takes the mickey out of me if I say tape because you don't tape anything these days.
They have tried to sex it a bit. Rishi Purcell, he's good. He gives it a go. And they have a pundit as well. The pundit was Sean Honor, who's a Commonwealth Games gold medalist.
Yeah. Mm. Do they have Sean Williamson come on? Does he come on and do a bit of Labby Siffrey? Does he come on and give us a song? We've not. No, and I don't. That was a one-off. He doesn't do that every year. But no. You'd invite him back, Sean, wouldn't you, every year to do a big song, something inside so strong at the bowls.
But yes, that would work. And it's also useful to look at the leisure wear because they get a good crowd. And I assume that people take a little holiday at Potter's because I could see the adverts, you know, the Potter's advertising, have a bowls weekend or a bowls few days or whatever. Yeah. And you look round the crowd and they are all, they're not people.
I could take a weekend. I'm not sure I could take a few days. Well, I might be bowsed out by then.
Well, they all seem to love
Express,
it. They all seem to love it. And if you have a look around the audience, it's a good crowd.
Yeah.
And they're obviously, it's leisure wear for people who are not...
Shorts or slacks?
There's a bit of both, actually. A lot of corduroy. A lot of beige. A lot of beige when you look round. Lovett green. A lot of Lovett green. Oh. And you sometimes look round and think, blimey, is Greenwood still going? but there, it is a lot of leisure wear for the older people.
Now, we're nearly out of time, but very quickly, bad sport you watched.
Bad sport, This is in my ongoing sort of quest to find out more about criminal enterprises. You remember last week I was talking about Ponzi schemes?
Yeah, yeah.
The man who bought cricket. It's Alan Stanford. And
thinking of starting your own, I understand.
Yes, I'm working on that at the moment. but this was more about point shaving. This was... Now, I mean, the guy... I'll maybe tell you more about it next week because it's fascinating to watch.
This, why don't you do that as a little taster?
As a little taster, I want to know why they allow betting on college sports at such a huge level. This man, you know, the guy who ended up in prison, but he put £500,000 in cash at various bookmakers around Las Vegas. Apparently, if you stick to 9,900 at each bookmaker, so it's that old thing, rather like Yellow Sam, the you know, Barney Curley, that going to a load of different casinos and putting money on, but these college kids are paid nothing.
I know, you know, exactly.
They're paying nothing.
It's a moral,
so if you if you're, you know, it is just waiting to tempt them into gambling. And they found this guy, Stevie Headache Smith, he's called, who was
Stevie Headache Smith. Yeah, it's a good nickname. Fantastic. Well, look, you've whetted our appetite for that.
Oh, yeah. So we'll talk more because it's a fascinating program.
We will talk more about that. Yeah, and you can tell us more about how your Ponzi scheme is coming on.
Yes, I will.
Of course not. Of course not. He's not really doing that. And you're back overnight.
Yes,
live
overnight.
And unleashed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Between 1 and 6.
Gather, there's a bit of my show on
of the week. There is a clip. Look, you've got a clip of the week, but it's not you.
It's
listeners.
It's one of my Barmy listeners, isn't
it? Yeah, excellent. One of the Army. Thank you, Martin. You'll catch Martin overnight tonight in the early hours of tonight, tomorrow morning, etc., and Sunday on TalkSport. Are you simulcasting still, are you?
Talk Radio. Sports,
brilliant. Yeah. Go and check it out.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So time then to look at some of the non-sporting TV. As always, with the stars' very own Mike Ward. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, guys.
Let's have Brighton corner first. Leicester got to pick themselves off the floor after that defeat to Spurs the other night. And you go to their place Sunday afternoon.
It's like with a wounded animal.
Come on, Leicester.
Because you drew with them. You didn't have to beat them.
Honestly, I've never seen a team with every single possible advantage in football and you still didn't beat us. It was ridiculous.
This is how it works. That's what Sutton Brighton is about.
And you've got the assistant manager. We're Britain's foremost Henry VIII lookalike.
Yes, fantastic.
In the dugout tomorrow.
Yeah, if you sit directly behind him, obviously there's chicken legs flying all at you.
They're great mutton chops. That's a fantastic look, isn't it? Yeah. So anyway, Mike, let's look at the telly. And
that's enough football.
That's enough football for now. We are Talk Sport after all. Yes, and let's turn our attentions instead to tonight's show on Discovery Plus.
Yes.
Celebrity Help, My House is Haunted.
Yes. I have, just before we start, I have picked out some strange things this week because when you look through the listings, there are times when you think, oh, we've talked about that. Let's find something we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
So, yes, Alex Best.
It's got a football connection.
Ex-wife of the late George Best. Alex Best, who lives in a 19th century ex-farm worker's cottage in Surrey, believes there's a poltergeist moving stuff around. So she calls in the experts, the paranormalists and such like, or whatever the name is.
Paranormalists.
Is that a word? Celebrity, help! My house is haunted.
Yes, I know. Celebrity help!
It looks wrong there. Sell.
I know. Punctuation in titles with celebrity in is always an issue.
Yeah.
Like, who wants to be a celebrity millionaire? Who wants to be a millionaire? Question mark. Anyway.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Right, anyway. So, yes, she calls them in to find out, and there is a story behind the house. In fact, it turns out... Well, actually, no, I'm not going to tell you what the story is, but stuff has been moving around suspiciously and mysteriously, and she's convinced that it's not George. That's the one
ghoul
thing she does say.
Ghoul do you
say.
Think you are?
Is it ghoul do you think you are? Is it kind of night vision...
Yes.
Screaming.
Oh, yeah, yes.
People
yes.
lobbing so, stones.
An awful
and stuff.
Lot of that. Is that those, a lot of that? Those cameras doing that thing where.
So you get nothing goes on, it's very quiet, and you suddenly hear, ah! And then, and what was that? I'm yeah. sure I felt something hit me.
It's
on
funny,
the head.
Isn't it? Yeah. Never go in and say, we've had a look around. Actually, no, you're fine.
Yeah, that's yeah. That's true. Yeah. I mean, if you're a paranormalist, yes. you're not going to go
no,
in and
there's
say
nothing,
that.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Well, what time's that on?
There's a call-out charge. Well, this is actually a streaming thing,
oh,
so
okay.
this is streaming available from today, so it's hot off the press.
And is it a series, or so?
There's six
one
of them,
week?
Yeah. There's Charlotte... I mean, they've got some big names. They've got Charlotte Crosby off, you know, off Geordie Shore,
oh,
who's
okay,
on there as
wow.
well. And Toya Wilcox.
Oh, right, okay, well... Okay.
And she's thinks there's a... I'm not even going to do the obvious joke with the Toya thing. So anyway, let's move on to something else.
It's a mystery.
Yes, it's a mystery, of course she does.
Better than that. Not much, but a bit.
Too Hot to Handle Season 3 on Netflix.
This has just come onto Netflix this weekend. This is the one where people sign up for the show thinking they're on a sort of Love Island-style dating show,
yeah.
and they get there, and a few hours into their journey... it suddenly announced to them that that's not the show. They've actually signed up for Too Hot to Handle Season 3. They obviously haven't seen seasons 1 and 2 to figure it out for themselves. A show where you must not do any of that stuff. The prize it depends on you doing absolutely nothing. You have to develop deep, meaningful, spiritual relationships
oh, yes.
and nothing physical. And anyone who breaks that rule means the prize money just... drops quite, plunges almost.
No hanky panky, I think, is there?
Hanky panky. Oh, I should have used that. Yeah,
yeah so it's hanky-panky. Great to hear the phrase hanky panky brought back into the vernacular by Annie Jacobs. So
prize fund $200,000.
$200,000 is the prize fund. Yes, and some Brits there and some Americans there and a guy from South Africa.
Now we must talk. Not much going on. There's good documentary, The Alpinist, on Sky Documentaries on Saturday night. But we'll move on because Trigger Point is a big show for ITV on Sunday night. In the line of duty slot with a lot of line of duty connections.
Feel to it, yes, absolutely.
Vicky McClure and Adrian Lester, very good cast.
Adrian Lester, yeah, of course, and Hustle. I still miss Hustle. I used to love Hustle. And Vicky McClure, as you say, from Line of Duty. And I'm sure everyone's seen, they've trailed this for weeks now. So you see the trailer of her and all the gear, and it feels as if you're watching sort of an action scene from Line of Duty. The key difference, this is about the Met Police's bomb disposal squad and the counter-terrorism unit, etc., etc., but it's very much action-based. So whereas on Line of Duty, there'll be a long 20-minute sort of sequence of people just in the interrogation room, and it's all very... The dialogue is very, very sort of intense and measured, etc. So here it's all action. It's very much like, you know, I guess watching Casualty or something, or you know, London's Burning, you know, something where it's all about what's going to happen, what's around the next corner, you know, you're on the edge of the seat, you know, if you get the wire cutters out and all the tension you'd expect from the setup, etc. So it's not Danger UXB because that was World War II, I think, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. Sounds right. The character names are on, aren't they? Vicky plays frontline officer Lana Washington, who doesn't sound like a copper at all, like a Hollywood star.
Well, okay.
And Adrian Lester, so colleague Joel Nutkins, obviously known as Squirrel in the dressing room.
Terry,
And there is a bit of bomb squad banter. I mean, if you watch it, you'll see.
But I think if you were in the bomb squad, you'd need a bit of banter, wouldn't you?
Yes, I mean, I can't decide whether it's a bit sort of they lay it on a bit thicker at the start, but you know, they're obviously trying to say, well, there's more to these people. They are three-dimensional people, so the relationship between these two, who their backstory is they worked together in Afghanistan, etc., etc. So they go back a while, but there's a few jokey bits, and then the jokey bits suddenly switch to something really, really dark in a split second. Oh. So it works well.
Mm. Sounds good. Vicky McClure will be on with her other half, Johnny Owen, on Sunday morning, and Mark Webster, of course. And so you'll find out more about the show Trigger Point That's ITV1, 9 p.m. on Sunday. Just a very quick word for another documentary, Sky Documentaries, Red Elvis. Can you? We haven't got long, but can you explain?
Yes, this is Sunday night, 9 o'clock, Sky Documentaries. I didn't know anything about this, but this is a guy who became a big star in the Soviet bloc, an American guy called Dan Reed, who basically went over there and became a sort of idol and a sort of counter-propaganda idol. He used to do cover versions, etc., etc., and he met a sticky end under very suspicious circumstances.
Was this in the 60s?
So no, he died in 1986.
Right, okay.
So wow. he was basically, it was a huge star over there. Never denounced America, but went on American program about 6 weeks before he died. He went on America's 60 Minutes and said some things about Ronald Reagan. And oh. and you know, defended the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. And all sorts of, so basically, you know, the propaganda and the Cold War and all that aspect of it, was he a victim of something deeply sinister underneath it all? So it's an interesting story. Yeah, it's 9 o'clock on Sunday night on Sky Documentaries.
And The Responder on Monday with Martin Freeman. I saw him talk about this on Graham Norton. Yeah. It looks a good show, but he said he'd studied for the part, and I was thinking, yes, Stephen Graham.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, meow.
It's good, though. It's Monday night and Tuesday night next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week, Mike. Have a good weekend. Thanks very much.
Cheers, guys.
The Mike Ward there from The Star with all the non-sporting telling. And that is us. We'll be back on Monday pouring over Chelsea v Spurs and all the other big games this weekend, and the cricket, of course. Got two T20 internationals for you live and exclusive on TalkSport 2 over the weekend at 8 o'clock both on Saturday and Sunday, plus all the live football.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We're back on Monday, aren't we? International week next week. We'll probably have some crackpot local newspaper stories there.
Chelsea and Spurs to pour over.
We'll have plenty to talk about Monday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all the games. We bring you lots of commentaries here on TalkSport, plus the cricket, don't forget, on TalkSport 2 tomorrow night. Do hope you can join us on Monday from 1. If not, the podcast, as always, will be available at 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.